And when they led him away, they laid hold of one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming from the country, and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. And there were following him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breast that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green tree, what will happen in the dry?" Jesus Christ died on the cross for the redemption of all mankind. The one that said, "Peace be still," the raging storm was calm. The one that said, "Lazarus, come forth," and the dead was raised. That day he hung on the cross, having the power to stop and put an end to all suffering and the mocking of the people. But rather he hanged there, and he died for the sins of the whole world. He had such a great love, and has such a great love for us, for all of us. In Luke 23, in verse 32, the text says, "And two others also, who were criminals, were being led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand, the other on the left." The cross that was in the middle is a cross of redemption. A cross that Jesus bore the sins of all mankind. But there were two other crosses, one on each side of Jesus that day. And today I would like for us to talk about those two other crosses. The first I would like to suggest to us was a cross of rebellion. These two robbers stand in direct contrast to the cross of Christ. Jesus was completely innocent of all charges. But these two men, the Holy Spirit calls robbers or thieves. Jesus did not deserve to die, but these two men deserve to die. These two thieves also join with the crowd in mocking Jesus. I'd like to suggest to us, as we consider this cross of rebellion, verse 39, the text says, "And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.'" And essentially what this thief was asking Jesus to do, "Well, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you just let us all escape and we'll get out of here?" You see, that thief, he was only interested in escaping. He was not interested in Jesus. He was not really interested in the hereafter. He was only interested in now. He did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. This man, a thief, had defied what God had commanded, "Thou shalt not steal." He continues his rebellion against God, his will, on this cross, even until his death. I don't know what Jesus did to provoke this man to such hostility. When we read in Scripture that all that Jesus ever did is going about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. This man represents a lot of folks today that have a hatred for the Lord, a hatred for His church. He represents many people today who live their whole lives in defiance to God and His laws. They live every day of their lives to themselves and for themselves, not ever giving a single thought to God and His will for man. They refuse to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They refuse to confess Jesus as the Son of God. And even in death, they are defiant, unwilling to submit to God. And they die in their rebellion. You know, each of us has a life to live. But that life should be given in obedience to our God. But if we choose to live our life in rebellion, there's going to come a day when we'll give an account of that rebellion. For it is the Apostle Paul who says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of God to give an account of the deeds that we've done in the body, whether good or bad." This man was probably no more than just a very few feet from Jesus Christ. The blood that could wash away all of his sins. Yet this man was so far away. So far away. This rebellious man reminds me today of so many people that we know, who know what the Scriptures teach. They know what they need to do in order to be saved. And here they are, just a few feet from the blood of Jesus Christ. But they remain in rebellion against that redemption. Non-Christians sometimes come and visit us in our services. And they hear lessons of truth, of salvation. And they're so near and so close to the blood of Jesus. But they rebel. They turn away. Today I ask each of us, do you know what God wants you to do? Are you refusing or rebelling against God's will? Then this cross of rebellion represents you. You're no different than this man. Is there something in your life that you know is wrong? And you're refusing to quit it? Then you too are rebelling against God. But there was another cross. And I like to refer to it as a cross of repentance. And in our text, Luke chapter 23, beginning to verse 40, the text says, "But the other answered, and rebuking him said, Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise. When we look at this text, this man was a thief too. Just like the other thief. Both deserve death. And yet this man admits it. He admits that he is guilty and that he deserves to die. But something else that he says. He comes to Jesus' defense. Now what is interesting about this, when you read the other accounts, you'll find that both of the thieves, at one point in time, they both mocked Jesus with the people. Then the thief of rebellion, he makes the statement of escape. And it must have been in some kind of ridiculing way. Sarcastic way. Because this thief rebukes the other thief and defends the Lord. The heart of this thief was touched by the things that he saw and heard that day. It turned from a heart of rebellion and ridicule and mocking to a heart of repentance in just a very short time. I don't know what the thief saw or what all the thief saw that day or what all he heard that day. But I do know this. That thief saw Jesus, who was no ordinary man, say these powerful words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This thief saw the sun darkened for 3 hours. This thief saw Jesus and his love and his tender affection for his mother when he comments to John, behold your mother, behold your son. This thief also heard, my God, why have you forsaken me? He heard, I am thirsty. It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Again, we do not know what all the thief saw and heard. But we know this one thing. He sure had a change of attitude. And this we know for sure. Jesus knew the man's heart. He mentions the Lord's kingdom. It seems a little bit odd that this particular thief, while hanging on the cross, next to a man a few feet away, that was a man hanging on the cross too. Knowing that they are going to die. And yet this thief says to Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. What did he know about the kingdom? Well, this suggests that this thief at some point in time had heard some preaching. By the fact that he was a thief hanging on the cross does not mean that he never knew anything or heard of anything, or that he was not at one point in time a religious, God-fearing man. Do we not all understand that not all people in the world have always been in the world? Some have been with the Lord.
and some returned to the world. This thief, more than likely, had heard some preaching of Jesus. Possibly. He could have heard preaching of John the Baptizer. He could have heard one of the 12 preaching. He could have heard one of the 70 preaching. We just don't know where he learned it, but he learned something from somebody at some point in time. And what is interesting, at the most opportune time, what he had heard and what he knew, he used it. Oh yes, it was the 11th hour. But what you know and what you do with it is even important in the 11th hour. And then the Lord says, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." I think this audience is quite aware of the fact that we've studied before about the Hadean realm, about where the soul goes after death. We've talked about that. And there certainly is the concept of a place of the unseen, Sheol of the Old Testament, Hades, the Greek idea, where when the body goes into the grave and the body returns to the dust of the ground and the soul goes to that place of the unseen. And there are two different places to which they can go. The spirit can go to Tartarus or to torments where the rich man was in torments. And then there's this great gulf. And on the other side, there is this place of paradise, a place of resting in Abraham's bosom. Now notice what Jesus said specifically. And this is important. Jesus didn't say, "Well, you're going to die today. Period." He didn't say, "You're going to die and go to hell." He said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." What does that suggest to us? I think it suggests that Jesus forgave this man his sins and says, "You're going to be in Abraham's bosom with me today." Wow. What an absolute beautiful sentiment in regards to this man. Now think about that for a moment. Maybe we have a little bit of an issue about this salvation of this thief on this cross at the 11th hour. And what problem would we have with it? Are you against God saving people? Me neither. Are we against the way God saved this man? And who might we, the clay, say to the potter how he does things? There are several things that we must understand about this thief. Was there not grace bestowed upon this man? Grace. When Jesus was upon the earth as a man, we know that He had the power to forgive sins. Did He not? We do know that Jesus spoke the lame man, that his sins were forgiven, the one that He said, "Take up your bed and walk." He said to the woman that came and anointed His feet, He says, "Your sins have been forgiven you." And it's important for us to understand that that grace of Jesus was extended to a man who was a thief, who deserved to die, but yet God knew his heart and he could judge, and he did judge because he is the judge and could save him however he wanted to save him. And not only that, what law was this man under? He was under the old law, the same law as the lame man, the same law of the woman. Do we question their salvation? But we have concerns about this thief's salvation. But now here's where the rubber hits the road. Folks say, well, preacher, I want to be saved just like that thief was. Now what does a person mean when they say they want to be saved just like the thief on the cross was? Well, most discussions I've had with people that even talk about this subject in regards to salvation, they're simply talking about, well, I don't want to be baptized to be saved. After all, the thief wasn't baptized, so I don't have to be baptized. All I need to do is have faith like this thief had in Jesus and ask him to forgive me and I will be forgiven. I want to be saved just like that thief. Well, let's think about that for a moment. These passages here are quite familiar to us, but I want to just refresh our memory and make it a matter of record for us as we study this important topic. Remember Jesus in Matthew 28? He told his disciples to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Remember that? Mark 16, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. You remember in John 3, verses 3 through 5, he spoke to Nicodemus and said, unless a man be born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Remember that? And then in Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Remember that? Do you remember in Acts 22, verse 16, what Saul of Tarsus was told by Ananias? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Right? Remember that? Then in Romans 6, verses 3 through 4, there the Apostle Paul gives us a commentary on what baptism into Christ is. It's a baptism into the death. And as we are then buried with Him, we are to rise to walk in newness of life. Remember what Paul said? And then in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, for we are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not to put in the way the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're all sitting here, yeah, we know that. What's that got to do with the thief? Well, I would then ask you this. If we want to take the position that we want to be saved just like the thief on the cross, what law was the thief on the cross living under? The old law. All those passages we just referred to, what law was that under? The new law. Question. If we rebel against, under the new law of Christ, the command to be baptized, which thief are we emulating? Which thief was it on the cross that rebelled to do what God said? Which thief on the cross humbled himself to do what God said? So under the new law, if we're saying, I want to be saved just like the thief was back under that other law, then aren't we being rebellious against God's law today? I think so. But I have this question for you. How do you know, under the old law that that thief lived under and died under, how do you know he wasn't baptized? Did he not know about the kingdom of God?
Number two, that would suggest he'd heard some preaching. How do you know he didn't respond to that preaching, was baptized by John? By Jesus of the disciples? The 70? The 12? Here's your conclusion. Here's what you have to say. I don't know whether he was baptized or not. And that's absolutely the truth. He could have been baptized. Now here's your stance. Under the new law of Christ that commands you to be baptized for the remission of your sins, you say, I want to be saved like the thief on the cross, meaning I don't want to have to be baptized in order to be saved, when you do not know whether he was baptized or not. That is some major shaky ground to stand on. For lots of reasons. Well, when we consider all that is said, Jesus' power to forgive sins was evident, as we've already discussed. And Jesus, as the Son of God, had every right to forgive that man his sins any way he so desired. And I suggest to you that's what he did. He saved that man on the cross. And I don't know whether he'd ever been baptized by John or Jesus or the apostles or whomever. But under that law, it wasn't required. Now I'm going to go one step further. If Jesus Christ says to me or to you or any other person on this earth, this side under the new law of Jesus Christ, in the day of judgment, I'm going to save you regardless of what you did or did not do, that will be totally 100% up to the Lord. But I do know this. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? This man was hanging on a cross and he could not get down off that cross and get baptized. But he was a humble-hearted man and he was repenting and he was recognizing Jesus as the Son of God. And Jesus Christ Almighty, the Creator of all things, said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Enough said, period. And I can't question that and should not. But for me to say, I want to put myself in a position to be saved just like the thief on the cross, I have absolutely zero right to do that, nor does God have an obligation to save me in that same fashion. You're whittling on God's end of the stick. But what do you know? Well, you live on this side of the cross. Do you know what Jesus wants you to do today? We read several passages of Scripture just a moment ago about that. I simply to say to each of us, that day that Jesus died on that cross, there were two thieves that died with Him too. One had the heart of rebellion and mocked and ridiculed and died in his sins when he was just a few feet away from the saving blood of our Lord. Are you going to be that kind of person today? Within just a few short steps of being baptized into Jesus Christ's blood, to have every sin washed away, you're going to be bullheaded and you're going to be stubborn and you're going to walk right out that door and you're going to refuse the blood of Jesus. Or
There was a man on the other side of Jesus that died on the cross too, whom I've already said. I don't know what all he heard. I don't know what all he saw. But I know some of the things he heard. I know some of the things he saw. And it changed his heart. And what's so impressive to me, God's grace here is obviously very impressive, that Jesus would save this man. But I'm going to tell you something about the human heart. You may have been all of your life an ornery cuss, not worth taking a shotgun shell and shooting you. Do you know what you can do with your heart? You can change it in a moment of time based upon what you hear and you see from a gracious God. And He can forgive you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. Hanging on a cross, deserving that death. Our God is so full of grace and mercy that He will forgive you. He is not going to forgive you in your rebellion. He will forgive you in your humble obedience. Just a few feet away is an opportunity for you to be forgiven of all of your sins. So the choice is yours. The choice is mine. This morning we'll sing a song of encouragement for any and all to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what an appropriate song. What would your answer be? As a teacher, I've taught many a class with a bunch of people, or just one. And sometimes the Word of God is so penetrating to the very heart and soul of a man that when you ask the question, what are you going to do? There's been a few times where the person doesn't say a word and doesn't do a thing, and they're lost in their sin. So if you say nothing, you do nothing, that's your answer. But you can respond. You can respond today to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He will save you by His grace and His mercy and His love. Won't you come? What will your answer be? As we stand together and sing.
Someday you'll stand.